We understand that you had a very spectacular experience on October 23rd.
Yes, I did.
I wonder if it would be possible to get a description of what happened and what you saw, and starting with the events which led up to it.
Oh, let's see. What do you mean with the events that led up to it?
Well, just prior to what you were doing, just before you sighted the object.
Oh, I was visiting with my in-laws in Puyallup.
Uh-huh.
And I left there, and as I was coming home, I saw it up in the sky.
Okay, now could we get a complete description of just exactly what you saw and all the events that were associated with it?
Okay. I don't know the direction to it, but it was coming from, say, Eatonville towards Puyallup.
Uh-huh.
And it was red and kind of bluish-green light. And they were just flashing very, very fast. Not flashing, that isn't the right word, but they weren't going off and on. They were kind of swishing. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And it was sort of horseshoe-shaped, kind of oblong, but no end on it. And at the end, in the center, was a red light. And it wasn't flashing or anything.
I see.
And it would stay still. Oh, when I first saw it, it was just sitting still up in the sky. But now somebody wrote a thing in the paper, and he said it was as low as a jet coming into the airfield. But that was wrong. But I never even told him that. He just said it.
Yes.
But it wasn't as... It was higher than what a chopper would fly, that they've been flying around here. And it was lower than a jet, because I could see the outlines of jets, and there was no outline of this at all.
I see.
And, let's see. As it was coming towards my car, I was going down 160th, and it was coming across the 160th. And it would stay still, and then it would just shoot really fast. And then it would stop, and then it would shoot. It would stay still. I can't really say for how long, but at least 10 seconds, I'd say, before it would move again.
Uh-huh.
And as it was above my car and I couldn't see it, my car, I didn't lose control of the car, but it was like if I was having a flat tire and the spark plugs weren't working. That's how I thought of it later. Because it just was kind of like it was missing really bad, only a little bit stronger than that.
Yes.
And I didn't feel that if I let go of the wheel that I'd lose control of it, but felt like it was almost going to lose control if I had let go. I can't really describe that, but...
Did it feel like someone was trying to turn the wheel opposite to the way you wanted it to go?
No, it was just like... Well, maybe, but not really like that. It was kind of like it was locked, sort of. It wasn't locked because I could steer the car, but it was kind of like it was hard to steer.
Was the engine running... at full RPMs? I mean, was it running normally, other than the missing, as though it was missing?
Well, I was only going about 35 miles an hour or so.
I'd
slowed down.
Yes.
But the speed limit was only about 45, I think, on that road. But I'd slowed down, and I have a gear shift, but I had it in a slow enough, or low enough gear that, it, you know, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't driving in too high of a gear for the speed I was going or anything like that.
Yes.
And that was just for the few seconds it was over my car. And then it, as it moved again, we could see it on the other side of the car. And then it just was gone after that.
I see.
It didn't, like, stand still and then, you know, keep on moving in the direction it was heading. It was just gone.
Okay. How close would you say it got to you?
I'm a terrible judge at feet. I just don't have any idea. The only thing I can know, it was just higher than a helicopter that usually flies around here Fort Lewis way.
Yes.
That's as far as, you know, that's the only thing I could judge it to. It was much higher than a tree, you know, or, the reason I knew it was different was because I've always watched the airplanes and all, you know, and you can always see the outline of an airplane with the, you know, landing lights on or whatever, or even if, you could always see the outline, and there wasn't any outline. Someone told me it was probably parachutes, because they were having some people jumping out of choppers and whatnot, I guess, from Fort Lewis, but that it was absolutely not that. Because it, because, you know, they just fall. I mean,
yes.
You know, these just didn't. This stayed, it never got any lower unless it did over my car. You know, of course, I couldn't see it then. And I was just with my two girls, so I was afraid to stop the car because it's kind of a lonely street.
Did they get a better look at it than you?
Who?
Your daughters.
No. We were all together. My daughter, my oldest one is five, or six.
I see.
So, but we all saw it, you know, the same exact thing.
Yes.
Of course, now she sees them when she's at the airplane. You know, I mean, she thinks it's about the same. Oh, crap. But, I came home and I called my brother-in-law because I wasn't scared, but it was kind of an exciting kind of feeling. And I called my brother-in-law that lived just a little ways from me and told him about it and convinced him enough that he went out to see it. And after he went out to see it, he saw it, and he said there were other people on the road also.
I see.
Then, at that time, looking at it. But when I was coming down the road, there wasn't anybody on the road. But that's the only thing I can think of. There wasn't any noise from it at all. We had our windows down and had the radio off and everything. And
did you have any unusual physical feelings at the time?
No.
Such as a tingling sensation anywhere in the body or numbing sensation?
No, I didn't notice anything like that. But like my, I can't describe my feelings, especially because it was so exciting, you know.
Yes.
But I didn't have a scared feeling, like, you know, like with butterflies in my stomach, anything like that. It was just more of a, well, kind of like amazement and all.
Yes.
You know, but I couldn't stop talking about it all night. Even to myself, I just kept thinking, my God, you know, I couldn't believe it.
Would there be any possibility of our having a personal interview with you?
Oh, sure.
Because we would like to go through this thoroughly and get a drawing and a map of the area and so forth where this happened. Well, incidentally, we got your number from your father, so...
Oh, uh-huh.
Because we had heard about this story through the Eatonville newspaper to begin with.
Oh, uh-huh.
And in as much as we're getting what appears to be repeated cases of these close approaches to cars, why, we're more than interested in what you had seen.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had called somebody in Seattle that the Air Force had given me the number, and the gal that answered the phone said, well, I don't have anything to do with those. Hung up on me.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
In Seattle?
Uh-huh. But then after I talked to the guy up in Eatonville, the reporter, he said that somebody had called the same people I had called only in Olympia. I can't remember the number. It was...
Well, that must have been civil defense in Olympia.
Oh, but seemed to me it was something like some kind of emergency.
Right, Office of Emergency Preparation,
yeah.
Right.
And so I just assumed I'd got the wrong number or somebody, you know, because McCord didn't handle them.
Yes.
And I didn't really know who to report it to, you know.
Well, they were supposed to forward all such calls to us. But they have such a turnover of personnel there that they just can't seem to keep up with it.
Well, I called McCord back again and asked her, you know, she said, no, that was the only number she had. So, you know, I just figured somebody, or the Vince guy, but he, you know, he would know who to contact and all. We have a picture here that... the reporter in Eatonville drew for us.
Uh-huh.
Is what it, or I told him what it looked like, then he drew it on a cardboard so they could take a picture of it.
Right.
But that was exactly what it looked like. In fact, my brother-in-law drew a picture, and I drew a picture, then we compared them. We both saw the same thing.
Oh, very good.
So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll talk to you about 1 o'clock Tuesday afternoon.
Okay, fine.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Bye.